Hi everyone, welcome to AI with Arun show. Today we're very honored and privileged to have Neeraj Rai on our show. So Neeraj, thank you so much for taking the time and for joining us today.
Thanks Arun, it's a privilege to be here and I'm super excited to share this Sprout's story and what we are building to your viewers. Thank you for the invitation.
Great, great, excellent. So viewers, what I'll do now is I'll very quickly introduce SproutsAI.com and Neeraj, and then we'll jump into the podcast. So SproutsAI.com, it offers an end-to-end autonomous AI agent platform that is designed to automate very critical business processes. So for all the enterprises out there, you can make out that's exactly meant for you, the platform. So Sprouts AI, the proprietary AI models, it helps you drive productivity, growth, and revenue. So three of the major things that any of those C-level execs, you know, or you know, senior people at any of enterprise companies are looking to impact. And Neeraj, who's joining us today, he is an IIT Kharagpur graduate. He has played multiple roles as chief architect, head of engineering at various companies, including Intel. His focus has been on AI, ML, cloud, big data, robotics, you name it. Eventually, he founded SproutsAI.com in the year 2022. So once again, Neeraj, thank you. Neeraj, one quick thing. Your last name, Neeraj Rai. Do you have an association with Aishwarya Rai?
Yes, we are from same country.
That's a good one. Excellent, excellent. I like that answer. Excellent. All right, so Neeraj, you graduated from IIT Kharagpur. So what specific experiences at IIT sparked your entrepreneurship journey? Any specific projects?
Yes, so IIT has been critical to most of the IITian journey, and I'm not an exception. And, you know, I'll go back even before that, right? For somebody like us who grew up in a small town, IIT itself was a dream for many of us, just like, you know, thinking about, you know, as a child, can we, you know, even just visit there and see that, like forget about studying there. And with that, when you are surrounded with so many smart people, most of them are way smarter than you, in you know, one way or another. And the one beautiful thing about IIT is you get to meet people from all parts of the country, and you know, getting exposed to all the diverse culture, thinking how it's not just about your coursework and study. In fact, that comes much below in your ranking, and actually those are the things which is true even in your professional career also, that your skill is extremely important, but that's not the only thing that you need to be successful. Life is much bigger than just your skills and your knowledge. So those are the things that has been helping me a lot, that he, you know what, one is like when you go to IIT, this means you are already ambitious, especially from a small town, because just dreaming about going over there, this means, you know, it's already there, your ambition is already there, and then actually going and doing it once, it gives you so much confidence. And if you just continue doing that, so I've just carried that with me. And the best part about all these things are, when you are trying to get into IIT from small places, there will be a lot of naysayers, right? That is, no, forget it. It's not going to happen. But then proving them wrong, right? And that's the best part, that proving naysayers wrong, and that's there in your professional career also. A lot of people will doubt about whether you can do it or not, but then you need to have your own self-belief. And once you go and prove, those are the same people, they'll come and, you know, join you also and help you and, you know, be part of the journey. So that those are the attitudes I've carried even now.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic, Raju. Think, you know, the way you articulated about naysayers coming from a very different kind of a small town setting to a location where you get to meet a lot of smart people who, as you rightly said, are way smarter than you, right? And then being able to, you know, learn new skills, that's phenomenal. And I'm pretty sure that must have been a very fascinating ride for you. So in terms of, you know, all the skills that you learned at IIT, right, you're in the dorm days, right? How do you think that you have been able to translate a lot of those skills to the startup storm? So from a dorm coming to a startup storm, how does that translate for you?
Yeah, so most important skill that we learned is, you know, camaraderie and supporting and keeping that, you know, positive mindset, right? Like, let's say in IIT also, you get to build a lot of hall culture, you know, let's go support, let's go and work together. So that was very new to me, at least, because before that, I never lived in dorm. Most of the schools where I went, there were more public school from state government. So there was no culture of team and all those kind of things. So coming and, you know, learning about that and then building the community. And the best part is, even today, that continues, the building the community, the helping, supporting. Because especially if somebody wants to build a startup, it's just insanely hard to just do it by yourself. You know, somebody, if they are thinking that they can do it by themselves, you know, this is the worst decision they can make. Instead of that, you need to be very collaborative. You should always be going and asking help. That at least that's what I do, and that's what I have learned. No, you know, just look around, like, who can help? And it's across the board, whether it's you know, just brainstorming your initial idea to inception, to you know, getting feedback on product, to just getting, you know, intros, warm intros, connecting to investors, customers, or mentors, you know, you name it. You just need to build the community around you, to ecosystem around you, so that whenever you need help, that ecosystem is there. You can look around, oh, for this I can go to this person might be able to help. So that community building, the camaraderie that I learned at IIT, especially hall culture, that's so important. Like, that's totally transformed me when I came to this. And that's where I put very special effort to continue to build that network, the connection, the, you know, the I'm still, like, you know, every day at least I'll talk to 5 to 7 friends from IIT. Almost like this is very natural to me. I'll through WhatsApp or anywhere, like, most of the weekend they are spent with our friends from IIT. So you know, that's very important for me.
Yeah, no, fantastic. You know, few things I took away, you know, the ability to build skills around, you know, the camaraderie that you built in IIT, and then the teamwork, you know, asking people for feedback, you know, how do you network, and how do you, you know, have for that feedback mechanism so you can improve in your work, right? I think those are great skills, and certainly, yeah, I have never seen a one-person team founder. So building that team, having that great mentorship around you, right, and having the great team around you—that's fascinating. So then, if you were to go back, let's say, you know, 20 years, you know, if you were to go back, what advice would you have for a younger Dheeraj Rai who is just entering IIT or maybe still in IIT? What advice would you have for that younger self?
Yeah. First and foremost is, you know, just forget all the inhibitions and, you know, the prejudices that we learn at our home. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Instead of that, be open and accept that comes around you with open arms. And because in our culture, there are a lot of, you know, things that we have prejudiced, our cultural baggage, right? So or just like be, you know, if somebody says, no, forget all those things, let's restart, just open up, right? Mm. That sooner you adopt that, the, you know, you'll go a long way if that culture is there. Like, let's say, for example, and that's very unfortunate, right? Like, this person is from Bihar, this person is from Punjab. Oh, this is, you know, the backward, this is forward, all those kind of things. This is girl, this is boy, all those gender bias, the age bias, the regional bias. And those are things, especially places where we grew up, like Bihar, right, where this is so much ingrained in kids from very beginning. And it takes time for you to reset all those things. So sooner you reset, better it would have been. And second part is like, even though I was, I did few, but, and now IITs are bringing, even along the same line, like let's say in IIT, you have a lot of department thing. Hey, this is computer science, this is electrical. Still that, like, go and, you know, figure out like what you want to do and forget about like what officially course you are allocated, but just go and start acquiring skills around that as soon as it's there. And we see a lot over here in Berkeley and Stanford and many other places where students are given opportunity to go and build the product, and there is ecosystem around that. I had this entrepreneurship attitude from very beginning, but I did not really know how to start even there. Like, if I had a choice, I would have never taken any job after college, and I would have just started the company. Even if it was like whatever was that, I'd have got into that. So those are the things I would like to go back, like, oh, instead of starting company. And I did start another company in 2011, and it was really good. But, you know, I'd have gone and done many of those things much earlier, like, let's say, in college itself, like going and taking more of those things, building some product more there itself rather than after the college. So those were things I would redo it if I had twice.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful, Dheeraj. I think for all the young people who are listening out there, I think it's extremely important to realize that you know, when you enter a prestigious university or any university for that matter, there's a lot of unlearning and then relearning that happens. So it's extremely important to have a very open mind, right? Be open to, receptive to learning new things, to unlearning every biases or anything that you might have had. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So one thing I remembered, and it's from our batchmate, and you know him, Piyush Kumar. He's he was with us, and you know, when he was in my wing in JCB, and in first year he will go to all these computer labs, and he will work with many of the research scholars and others later, and that's why we used to call him Rassi, because he was already. You know, some of the labs we were not allowed to go as a fresher, and he was going there. Then we asked him question, hey, why do you go there? You are not allowed. He's like, okay, what could be the worst outcome? They will ask me to leave. I'm fine. There cannot be worse outcome than that. Yeah. But actually, they liked him so much that, you know, they gave him access to many of those labs. Oh, this person is motivated and all. So being, you know, that was so fascinating to hear. But at that time, we did not have courage. Our confidence was low. Coming from the background, like where we were coming from, we had big challenge of, you know, our language barrier was there, communication, English challenge. So, yeah, those are fascinating things that's you know, good to remember.
Right. And, you know, that's a very powerful thing that you said, you know, be bold, right? A lot of time, our own prejudices sort of prevent us from doing what we want to do. But then what you just said, be bold, right? I mean, what is the worst outcome that could happen? They will just ask to leave. That's you know, I'm sure that's phenomenal learning for somebody. And I think be bold is for everybody, irrespective of the age or, you know, where you are in your lifestyle, lifespan. Be bold. That's a very, very powerful mantra. Have a growth mindset. Be bold.
Yes. Amazing. And also, where other thing which is very important, I teach my kids around, don't even think about the gender, that this person is a boy or girl, and just like collaborate, right? And just figure out ways to work with everyone. That's another, like, gender bias. A lot of people, when they go into colleges and school first time, especially like where IIT, where it is dominated by male, so that, you know, if there is a way for people to overcome, especially in college, while they are in college, that will take them long way.
And Neeraj, and that is such an important topic by itself in terms of how do we reduce bias, right? And this could be any kind of bias. In America, we see a lot of bias between, you know, people of, let's say, African American origin, white, Caucasian, Asian, you know, based on the color of the skin. In India, where you and I come from, there's a lot of bias around, let's say, different regions, different castes, and so many other things. And that will be its own podcast. And I'm sure at some point of time, we should have a podcast just on this and how is AI enabling something like this? Why is it so important in the world of AI? But we should talk about it in another session.
Absolutely. That's a very important topic for us as well as a company.
Exactly. So on that note, you know, you talked about the company. Let's switch gears here, Neeraj. So let's come to sproutsai.com, right? I have researched the website, very, very fascinating, right? Spoken about it with some of my own clients, you know, right? It seems very fascinating what I'm looking at. So let's start talking about it. You know, what problems are you basically trying to solve with your venture, Neeraj?
Yeah. So I have been into data and AI for all my life, right? And in fact, one of the reason why I wanted to come to US, actually, I just wanted to come to Silicon Valley. Nowhere else in US. Okay. I was very clear. I want to be in Silicon Valley I want to work in a company who are building cutting edge product. You know, this was very clear to me. Nothing else matters. Like, you know, whether people talk all sort of things, cost of living, this traffic, this, that, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't even care about that. You know, am I working on something next generation, right? And that's how I, you know, I went to eBay when in early 2000 and Yahoo, and I was actually very fortunate to work on things which were cutting edge all the time. And that is something you have to consciously try for that. You cannot just sit back hoping that that will happen to you. That there could be sometimes a risk associated, because you might feel that, oh, I'm not skilled at something like this. You know, if I go, will I be successful in those things, right? Like, let's say, I was working on Hadoop in early 2007 when it was just getting started, right? So those days, it was a big thing. And then I started working on autonomous car in 2014-15 when it was big thing over there. And so one of the things with all this experience and everything, what I strongly believe that future of enterprise and most of the things, you forget about enterprise, even human life will be driven by AI. So AI will become the infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah.
So if AI becomes the infrastructure, how everything is going to look like? Where humans will become take the back seat. They will be mostly playing the role of auditor or coach or whatever you want to name it, depending on where humans are playing different roles. They will be participant, but not the worker. Most bulk of the work will be done by AI, and humans will be guiding what they want to get out of AI. Right? So if it is AI first world, then the whole architecture needs to change. And that's what really got excited about this whole space. Like, I was working on a self-driving car. If you think about that, that's autonomous system, right? A lot of people, they think about generative AI. This thing is new phenomena. It's not new, right? We have been generating the entire environmental scenario and conditions and simulating all the cars, how they will be driving, how they will be responding, all these kind of things. Yes, now where generative AI has come, it has become super easy. We have been able to democratize it.
Right.
Where, you know, people can go and talk and get this response. Earlier, it was in the hand of AI scientists and, you know, people, engineers, not in the hand of general public. So now, if you think about that, that where now these AI agents, you know, they can make a decision, they can go and do things, and they can do a lot more efficiently than any human, then how, what the new architecture is going to look like. I'll give you very specific example where, like, let's say, for example, you know, I'll take name of two companies, nothing to do with them. Let's say if you are ServiceNow, you have a product that you are selling. Now you will have AI agent maybe making call, reaching out to other companies. Hey, I have this product and I want to sell. And then on another side, now their AI agent is sitting and receiving your call and evaluating your proposal. There is no human involved anywhere in between. Right? Now, how do you make this whole AI agent get them do the work that you want them to do? like one AI agent is able to sell the product to the customer, another AI agent who is able to go and buy the product. So they, you know, doing the handshake over there, and the entire infrastructure, everything is done right. This means, you know, you need to have like most of the human role which exists today in enterprise, there has to be those roles need to get handed over to AI system. And it's extremely, extremely complex situation because, and the reason why it is extremely complex, because as a human, your speed is very slow. So you have a lot of time to monitor, respond, and, you know, fix all those kind of things. So as a human, you can only make, let's say, 50 such calls, right? Take notes or any of that. But as an AI system, it might be able to make, go and make like millions of calls per day.
Right. Yeah.
Now, how do you put a system in place who can go and, you know, guardrail and, you know, make sure audit and make sure everything is happening. And it's not just going and doing the transaction, now also making sure your internal system, it is ready. If it gets, let's say today, 10,000 orders, your backend system should be able to go and support and supply and close all those things. So everything has to be connected. And they are all coordinating extremely well to make it a real. So that's the world we are imagining at Sprouts, the agent first world for enterprise, that how it's going to look like, right? But you know, this is still very far away, but not too far away.
So Neeraj, what are some of the here and now use cases? So that's a great vision, right? On the website, I see that you talk about the enterprise brain or the enterprise OS, operating system for the enterprise, right? And what you just described is possibly the future of what is coming, where everything is automated. I see a lot of, you know, for example, on the sales side, the example that you gave, I have done consulting assignments where we've actually done comparison of, you know, this is a great product. Here's the business requirement that you have. And here is how you can actually evaluate multiple softwares and see which is the one that best fits, you know, both from a functional standpoint, from a business case standpoint, including the financials. So those are great use cases in a future world. But just talking about a little bit here and now, right, some of your customers are already engaged in. What are some of the use cases that you see?
Yes. So, you know, while we are building for the future, but we do want to work very closely with customers, so that we are solving their real pain point and not just build something, let's say, which is 5-7 years from now. And, you know, that is very conscious decision, because in 5 years, tech can change a lot. Like, you right. know, one of the things that's so fascinating in this AI agent era, some of the companies who were cutting it just 2 years back and they raised hundreds of million dollars to go and build some of the AI models, today they are already obsolete and they are shutting down because their tech is not cutting edge anymore. So all the hundreds of million that went into that, now they are already outdated. That is the worst mistake we as a company can make, it just go and build something for future, which we don't know how it is going to look like in terms of the real architecture. So our conscious decision is we will evolve with the market. We put our foot in the ecosystem. We see how things are evolving and we continue with that. So what we did, we have built some of these AI agents, which is actually we can put in production. And one problem that is very close to my heart, because you know, I have been engineering leader for now almost 20 years and would have done hundreds of recruiting and hiring. And one specific incident which I still remember is at one of the company where I was CTO, And we're looking to bring the industrial camera engineer, because the use case was that from the camera and sensors, they will capture the industrial product, and then in real time we will figure out if that product is defective or not, and based on that we will either take it out or, you know, let it go to consumer, right? And you know, it took us 4 months to close that position. And you know, the recruiter who was going and bringing, that person did not really get it, like what exactly is the industrial camera engineer, what exactly to do. There was so much back and forth conversation. And then when he will bring candidates, and then when I will interview, at that time I'll realize that no, this is wrong. And I'm like, okay, we have been able to go and build systems like self-driving car and all those kind of things, but when it comes to recruiting, we are still relying on this manual work where the guy is going, looking on LinkedIn and finding people, and then reaching out manually, and you know, such a labor-intensive work. Like, okay, can we do something here? Can we bring our power of data and AI and put it in the hand of these recruiters and hiring managers so that hiring is not painful anymore? So the first product that we built, and customers, they just love it, because what it is doing is AI agent for recruitment. And now what we are experiencing over here is like some of the work, and that is where we see the aha moment when customer come and they give the feedback, like, you know, where these AI agents can just go and find qualified candidates, do their initial interview and screening, exactly the same thing that a recruiter do, but wow, much faster and at a scale. And they will be able to go and get these people within 48 hours. And the reason why they can do it, because they can go and mine all these millions of profiles quickly. They can generate the personalized email, reach out to them. When they're ready, they can just do initial screening quickly. But then you already have the qualified people on your in your mailbox. Now, and there for many of these recruitment companies and all, you have to, as a company, spend 20-25%, which is like a lot of money for, you know, just going and doing all this manual work on LinkedIn and other places and doing that. Ensure that this AI will do it really quickly, at a scale, and much better, at fraction of cost. And that's what the power of AI we want to bring to not just recruiting, but many other aspects of enterprise automation. And this creates a lot of opportunity to everyone in this ecosystem, including to recruiters, because now instead of them, they are only able to close one or two positions in a month. They can go and close tens of positions. For company, they are not into lost opportunity because, oh, I could not hire people in let's say on the time when I needed. Instead of that, it took me 4 months to really go and hire. So for candidates, it's really good, because now you are not really being evaluated by unqualified people. Instead of that, if you are really skilled, you know, then you know that you will get fair chance. So everybody wins in this whole ecosystem. And that's what AI brings. That, you know, a lot of people, they say that, you know, AI, it's biased, this, that. Ensure that it gives fair chance to everyone.
So Dirak, let's take an example. Actually, let's take two examples. So let's say I'm a hiring manager And I am looking for an ML engineer with, let's say, expertise and knowledge in SageMaker, right? Or let's say I'm a hiring manager on the business finance side, where I'm looking for someone with knowledge and expertise in account receivables, account payables. So how can I use this tool?
Yeah, so that's where this whole tool is so powerful. One of the things, you know, and you know this as well, just having AI is not good enough. You also need the data.
Right.
So it's always data and AI have to work together. So what we have done for any of the role that exists on this planet, we have already modeled all the jobs. We already have modeled for all these jobs. When we have done the same thing for all the people as well, whoever are working, we already have modeled for them. So the matchmaking is already done. Whether you know, whether you are looking for MLOps engineer or finance manager or any of those models, that matching already exists. Where now, when you want to use our tool, we just bring your company filter on top of that, your a specific product filter, and you already know that, okay, these are the 200, 300 people who are interesting to you. And then as soon as you approve, our AI will reach out to those 300 people. And then who are already qualified, everything, it looks so amazing. Then, you know, 10, 15 will say, yes, I'm available. I want to talk. I'm excited about our own work. And then you have it. So that's the most fascinating part about this whole thing, that you start from like shortlisted candidate in near real time, rather than starting from writing the job description, going, posting, spend multiple weeks for sourcing and all those kind of things. And then, so it's super easy. It's just like you go and say that this is my role. We are like, okay, these are the people for you. And you're like, oh, it looks good. Let's get it started. Super easy to onboard.
Right. So fascinating. So when you look at these potential candidates, you're looking at what kind of databases, for example, LinkedIn, GitHub, or yes. What else are you looking for?
So we have a lot of database of people, LinkedIn and GitHub. It really depends also on the different roles and profiles. LinkedIn could be great for certain kind of roles, like, you know, white collar jobs, software engineers and all. But let's say if you are looking for truck driver or blue collar, because the way these AI agents are built, it is not just built for one specific kind of role. So for that, you'll have to go and mine a specific database. Sometimes you'll have to go and, you know, buy the data from other places. Sometimes you just, you know, there is other aspect of that where this tool can play very important role. Like, let's say, for example, this is just, I'm picking a name. We have no affiliation with them. Like, let's say, for example, if you take example of Walmart, by now they might already have 100 million to 200 million profiles in their database. What this, if you connect this tool to that, suddenly, like, you know, it will create the mapping of all the Walmart jobs to all the people database that they already have. So not just the external database, but even the internal database and doing the mapping over there. There itself, you have a lot of, those are the people who have at any point of time applied at Walmart. They're already interested in your company. They're already excited about the opportunity. But most of the company, they don't even have a tool to really go and, you know, mine their own internal database that they have and recruit from that. Instead of that, they will always start from writing the job description, going, finding people. Very painful process.
Right. Yeah. Anyone who has been in the industry for 5+ years, they have faced the challenges of recruiting in some form or shape, either as a hiring manager or as an interviewer. You keep interviewing more people. If you're a hiring manager, constantly waiting for people to get the right person in. So yeah, that's very Yeah, fascinating, Neeraj. But how are you making sure, Neeraj, that there is no bias involved? So, for example, you know, I could be from a certain demography. How do I make sure that your algorithm that you have, they don't not bias against me?
Yeah, so for us, one of the things that do it, first of all, one of the things we do it, like none of those things really gets into when we are going and figuring out the matching, right? Like whether it's, you know, the gender or race, we none of those things are really account when it's ranking. What we are also doing is there are already many tools that exist that, you know, go and do the bias score as well. Like the way you have the model to rank the system and whether it's candidate match or product match, all those kind of things, you also go and do the scoring of bias.
Mm-hmm.
And that bias comes at multiple levels, whether it's, you know, at data level itself. It is your data itself, like training data itself is, skewed, where you don't have enough diversity in the training data itself. Then, you know, the model itself could be biased. So that's where we put guardrails at each and every stage of the process. For us, the most important thing is like we put very specific criteria when we are making the decision. It's not just, we don't just rely on AI. Oh, give me who is a doctor, who is engineer, those kind of things. No, under the hood, we have very deep knowledge graph built for everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's where it helps you remove all kind of like things that you have. And then we are continuously making sure that, you know, our bias model, it is always running and evaluating, making sure all those kind of things. And we have a lot of test cases that we put in place, validation that, okay, you know. And so far, like most of the customers that we are working with, they have seen, in fact, in our case, what we have, they have seen is improvement in many of these diversity and some of those kind of things. Because, because where AI can play a very critical role is the way you want to, when you are setting a goal that I want to hire a software engineer. In fact, when you are surfacing the candidates, you can also say that, okay, out of 20 candidates you are surfacing, can you make sure that at least 30% are female candidates? There are 20%, you know, the Hispanic or, you know, Black people. So you can actually set those kind of like diversity goal as well. We make sure that we are mining the data enough, bringing enough these things so that you have your diversity goal, all those things are met. So, you know, it's, you know, if you just take out the popular talk from online and other things, actually, if somebody is serious about diversity and many of these things, this is one of the most powerful tools they can use to meet, you know, meet their some of the diversity goals.
Yeah, that's fascinating, Neeraj, because one of the key things that we see when we go through a human-centric, recommendation process, for example, you know, I could ask one of my teammates or my manager could ask me that, hey, find somebody, right? And then when I go around in my network, I am basically looking at people who are very, very similar to me. But then with the help of the tool, I can actually find far more diverse people than what I as a human am seeing. So that's a phenomenal way of just bringing this whole concept of, you know, having more diversity in the team, that more inclusion in the team, and then you're reducing all of these biases and meeting at the same time the larger social good cause. So that's a very, very powerful tool.
Yeah, you touched very important thing, right? Like, let's say if you ask me, I'm hiring manager and I don't have access to this tool, need us go and find five people. I'll go and find from my network.
Yeah, just your five friends who are exactly like you.
And that's very a small set of people that you are looking at to really get the best hire.
Right, right. Right. So for all the managers, you know, for all the hiring managers, for all the enterprises who are listening out there, who, you know, this is something very, very powerful. If you're trying to build more diversity in the team, if you're looking for the right kind of people, if you have critical projects that are dependent on certain skill sets, you know, here's a great tool to use that Neeraj and company have that helps you, you know, reduce the overall time it takes to find the right people, and at the same time, bring in more ideas, more diversity, more inclusion into your team. Fascinating, Neeraj. Neeraj, so you know, we spoke at length about the product. Tell me something about, you know, the team building part, right? When you started this company, Routes AI, who were the first set of people that you onboarded on your team, and how did you go about doing it?
Yeah, so as I said, I've been building team for quite some time and running the engineering team. So when I was, you know, when you are starting a company at that time, you definitely want to work with the people who believe in this as much as you.
Yeah.
If you can find even, you know, somebody who is bigger believer than you, like, you know, that's fascinating, right? And for me, there are few core philosophies, you know, where ideally focus a lot. Like a lot of people, they want to go and do their startup because, you know, of course, a reward part is there. They want to make money. And I believe that, you know, building a startup, you will make money. But there is no quick money.
Hmm.
And that is something everybody, whether, you know, even when VCs are investing money, they are investing for multi-year, like 10-year or this kind of things. As a startup and whoever are trying to get into this, this is like much longer project than anybody can think of. Right. So, you know, when I'm thinking about this, I'm always thinking, who is skilled? Who is ready to ride the bumpy, take this bumpy ride? Right. And I make it very clear that no, this ride is going to be bumpy. It is not going to be smooth. It is going to be roller coaster. And people who really believe, they're like, yes, I want to solve this problem. And anything that you want to solve, something which is meaningful, which will have some impact, it's not going to happen in, you know, 3 months, 6 months. Like one of the things that I keep telling people, look, it takes 5 years to get your PhD.
Yeah.
And thinking that you can build a startup and do it in 6 months or a year, that's like
not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. The thing that you know, we are diverting from your question, but because we are talking about this long journey, things that you really want to take care is and onboard first, before you onboard your employee and anybody else, is your family. Make sure that they are onboarded, that no, you are going to get into this multi-year project, and you know, you will not be earning anything, and you know, there will be cost associated. There are a lot of things, very stressful time that you have to and your family has to go through. It's not just you will be sacrificing. You will not be able to take kids to you know, birthday and events, and you know, you might not be able to go to vacation for months and all those kind of things. So your family has to be onboarded first before you go and, you know, do more things. But then the thing that really helps is, hey, I'm passionate about it. I really want to go and solve this problem. This is why having those conversations, it's extremely, extremely important to make sure. Otherwise, it's going to be, you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great. That's great, Neeraj. I think that having the, you know, family on board, that's a great takeaway I took. And then, you know, how do you bring in a team of people who believe as much as you do, or maybe even more, in what your vision is and what your approach to is, the problem that you're trying to solve, right? Are they meaningful? Are they impactful to them? And that's when people come on board and sometimes
support. Yeah, and I would like to add a few more things. I know this is very interesting topic. What I have seen when you go and start, some of the people that I have hired and they are doing really good is most of the people who are fascinated about this problem in early days, they might already have some job somewhere and all. They'll say, no, let's go and work on it. They will start coming up with idea. They will start contributing. You have not sent them any contract. You have not sent them anything. You are not paying, but still they keep coming up with, hey, let me connect you to this person. Let's look into all these things. Then you know that, oh, these people are like really into it. They want it. Things that, I'll not say red flag, but sometimes when there is so much focus at the very beginning, okay, what is in it for me from very beginning? Mm-hmm. Then you know that, okay, it's,
that person is
not really into the problem. And that person is a lot more into what is in it for me.
Right.
It's a very different conversation.
I mean, here you're trying to build something new, right? So the focus has to be on how do we solve a meaningful, impactful problem, right? Rather than, how much money I make or, what will be my equity after 5 years. I mean, those things can wait for now. I mean, important too at the same time, right? But,
they are very important. And if it is successful, everybody should win.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. Everybody should win. It should not be just one winner or two winners.
Right.
But the win is very far.
The win is nice. Yeah. Like I said, right? A PhD doesn't happen overnight. It takes 5 years for the PhD. So this has to take its time. Yeah. Neeraj, another question, and related, investments, right? So I'm sure, you probably are dealing with investors, and different forms and shape, right? So how have you approached them? What strategies have been very successful?
Yeah, so somebody like me, who is more of a builder, has not very comfortable going and asking money from people. And, it was not very bad thing, actually. You have to just play with your strength, right? Whatever is your strength. In life, there is no right or wrong. It's all like how people perceive, right? So in my case, there has been very, fascinating, and I just love the way things have gone. For me, I have reached out to people who I felt could be very potential customer, like VP and senior directors of some of the large companies. And they see that, as you said, most of the people who have done a recruiting and hiring in their life, they could relate to this.
Yeah.
And, not only many of them, they at the beginning, they became my customer. They also wrote the first check. They said, hey, Neeraj, I want to invest. And that's not only validation of what you are doing, but actually, this is something. This is something real. It is solving real pain point, because customers are trying to get a pie of the problem that you are solving, right? Then there was one very interesting story in this case. Whenever I'll post jobs on AngelList and some of these places, there will be a lot of people applying. I don't know what was the reason, but probably they found this problem space very fascinating. And then AngelList has one fund. They track the traction of the startups and companies, like how they are doing on their platform. So instead of I reaching out to them, they reached out to me, hey, we want to invest. We don't need any other due diligence. Because we already have all the data that is needed. So, they wrote some check. But then when we get into the larger rounds, the good thing is we have, that is when a lot of customer traction, the product, the feedback, all those things, how you are doing at the business level, that becomes very important. And that is where we will get into that when we are looking for bigger round. You know, some of the other things that as a startup founder you can do is, and again, it goes back to the building the ecosystem. And that ecosystem does need to include investors, where you are all keeping them up to date, keeping them in the loop, where you are doing good, where you are struggling, you know, everything, right? Because, you know, don't look at them as a investor, right? Nobody, if you have that kind of like narrow view, then it's a problem. Ensure that the whole ecosystem, part of the ecosystem is the builders, the, you know, the people who are bringing money, investors, the people who are also helping you from the mentor, corporates. There are so many things that builds the entire ecosystem. So have that ecosystem also ready for you. Everything is a pipeline. Everything is a continuous thing. Think that way. That nothing is like, oh, when I need money, I need to go and talk to 50 people. No. Mm-hmm. Your life will be a lot more easier when you are building your pipeline from very beginning. Okay, now this is the pipeline of investors. This is the pipeline of customers. This is the pipeline of, you know, your hires and employees. That makes it extremely easy for you. It becomes more continuous. The mm-hmm. natural progression from one to another to another.
No, that's great. That's a great way of looking at Neeraj, because what you just said, right? Having a view on what my pipeline of investors looks like, what my pipeline of customers looks like, what my pipeline of, you know, potential employees looks like. And you, that's something that you alluded to earlier about this whole collaboration, this network building, right? That it refers to. That's awesome. That's awesome, Neeraj. Neeraj, one question I have about the coming back to your company now, right? So, you know, you talked about the larger vision about bringing the enterprise OS for your customers, for enterprise customers, be it big or small. We spoke about, you know, the fascinating work that you have been doing, which is here and now, you know, that companies can actually go and use that product around in the hiring use case. What are some of the, you know, future roadmap that you see for the company, for Sprouts AI?
Yeah, so we really believe in solving customer pain point, and stay very obsessed with that, right? And as I said, especially this AI and tech landscape, it changes very quickly. So you cannot have architecture where you got constrained and this is only thing and all this kind of thing. So the way we want to take the approach is, I really like some of the approach that most successful companies have done it. Like, let's say, for example, when you think about companies like Amazon, they did not start as an enterprise company, infrastructure company.
Right. Yeah.
They started with some app company, right? And then they continued to build the underlying. Like, they were starting as an app company, but then they were building their platform and infrastructure. They never lose their sight on building the scalable platform and infrastructure. And, you know, another great example is ServiceNow, how they started with one use case, one app, but then they continue to build this whole workflow platform for enterprise. We will take the same approach over here, that we will release a couple of these AI agents, but then we will, you know, start building these AI agents who are reusable, and then give no-code interface to enterprise where they can tune the same agent to do multiple things. And mm-hmm. then underlying infrastructure that stays the same. The advantage of this approach is, like, you already have the enterprise level security, the compliance, the integration, everything that you need, it's already there. They just need to repurpose one agent into another, to another, to another. And that is the approach we want to take.
That is, yeah.
Think, the way we look at this is, Like if you take example of any enterprise, and as I was discussing with you, these agents are like the human counterpart. Like every role that is there in enterprise, there will be AI agent for that. Now, if you think about like today enterprise, forget about the AI part. If enterprise has to go and get contractor from 100 different company and then trying to get something done, it's not going to work because they all will have very different setup, the contract, everything, right? And every time you're bringing integration, there's so many things. So that same philosophy, we believe that these AI agents, they need to understand, they need to communicate, they need to understand each other role and all responsibilities, how they need to communicate, coordinate, all those kind of things. And that's why it's very important to have that common framework for all these AI agents. But we will make it open where, like, let's say if there is a third party agent that can still get integrated in a same seamless way on the same infrastructure so that all these agents they can collaborate effectively. But that's where we will be headed a few years down the line.
Oh, that's very insightful, Dhiraj, because what you're doing is you're laying a very, very solid foundation for something that is a very evolving field at the same time. So it's a very difficult problem to solve. How do you have something that is scalable and future ready at the same time? There are so many moving parts out there. So how do
Yes.
you have an architecture that caters to both, different
Yes.
kinds of competing constraints, if you will,
Yes.
right? Yeah, that's fascinating. That's a great model and architecture that you guys are working towards. So yeah, that brings us toward the end of this podcast and this channel for this episode. I really, really wanted to thank you for all the insights that you have shared with us and the viewers today. Your personal journey, your life at the dorm, and then how the startup thing happened for you, the kind of learning that you have had. I mean, they're very, very insightful. The product that you're building, I think this is a fascinating, fascinating work. A lot of the enterprise customers out there to go and take a look at your product. So what I'll do is I'll include the link to your portal, right, sproutsai.com, in the description of this channel, so people can actually go and take a look and learn about how it can help them improve productivity, reduce their cost of operations, and help them drive revenue. Because a lot of time, if there are no people around, your project just get shelved because you don't have the right people to start. I think that's a great way that you are helping the enterprise customer, Dhiraj. I really, really want to thank you for this fascinating, fascinating, and insightful experience that we've had. So thank you, Dhiraj. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Arun. It has been absolute pleasure. And few things I would conclude with. Anybody who wants to build a company and a startup, there is no right or wrong time, right? So if you really believe, just go for it. And that's true for AI journey for many enterprises as well, that there is no right or wrong thing. Only way to know whether it is going to add value to you or not, jump on it and give a fair chance. And then you'll experience firsthand. There is no one path for everyone. Everybody has unique journey, whether it's a startup, whether it's individual or whether it's enterprise use cases. So unless they commit themselves in that journey, that journey is never going to end at the destination. So that's how I'll put it. Thanks, Arun. It was absolute pleasure reconnecting you.
Yeah, thank you, Dhiraj.
Thank you.